Thank you, everyone. It's a real pleasure to be able to talk about this work with you today. The results of the study I'm going to talk about is a study I carried out during my postdoctoral fellowship to learn more about women's experiences accessing abortion services in Mexico City, where abortion was just recently legalized in 2007. So I have no relationships to disclose. So I'd like to start by giving some background on abortion in Mexico prior to this law reform in 2007. As in many other countries of Latin America, abortion has long been a prevalent practice among women, but given restrictive laws on abortion, most abortions were carried out in clandestine and often unsafe conditions. And as a result, they were a frequent cause of maternal mortality and morbidity. And between 1990 and 2005, abortion was estimated as the fifth leading cause of maternal mortality nationally, and in Mexico City, the third. And there was an important equity dimension to this issue as well, since the risk for unsafe abortion and complications women experienced were much higher for poor, low-educated, young and indigenous women than for more advantaged women, since these are the groups least able to access the services. The law that was passed in Mexico City in 2007 legalized abortion for any circumstance in the first 12 weeks of pregnancy. And not only was abortion legalized, there were steps taken to try to really make this service accessible to women, regardless of their ability to pay. The law stipulated that abortion services be provided free of charge in public sector institutions in Mexico City for Mexico City residents and on a sliding fee scale for women coming from other states. And the reform, not surprisingly, provoked strong reactions by groups opposed to abortion. And the constitutionality of the law was challenged almost immediately after it passed. But in 2008, the Supreme Court of Mexico ruled that this law was constitutional. And although there were hopes that the reform in Mexico City would be followed by reforms in other states of Mexico, this actually hasn't been the case, and the other states have remained with highly restrictive abortion laws. And in fact, in 17 of the 31 states in Mexico, anti-abortion constitutional amendments have been passed to protect life from the moment of conception. But in Mexico City, however, the number of sites offering legal abortion care has been increasing over time. The services were initially offered at 14 sites that were all hospitals, and now they're offered at 17 sites, and this includes 15 hospitals and two primary level health centers. And the plans are to continue to grow this program in more primary level health centers in the future. And over 48,000 legal abortions have been performed since this program began in 2007. So the abortion policy reform in Mexico City has great potential to transform abortion-related risks throughout Mexico if women begin to substitute safe and legal services for unsafe care. However, this will only be achieved if the legal services are truly accessible and acceptable to women. And unfortunately, there have been few studies carried out on the accessibility of the services to date. And as a result, we know very little about how women find out about the abortion services or whether they encounter problems when they try to access care. And it is possible that these services remain out of reach to some women. Studies in other countries such as India, South Africa, and Zambia have found that liberal abortion laws do not always translate into safer abortions, and that unsafe abortions can persist, particularly for high-risk and vulnerable populations, such as adolescents and poor women. The objectives of the study I carried out were to understand how women using legal abortion services in Mexico City found their abortion provider, and whether women's sources of information on the abortion provider varied by their socio-demographic characteristics. I also sought to explore the obstacles women faced when trying to obtain their abortion care, and also to test whether these obstacles varied by socio-demographic factors. And this study is really an exploratory step to begin to understand the accessibility of the legal abortion services in Mexico City. So the source of data for this analysis was a survey carried out with 402 women who sought legal abortion services at public sector sites in Mexico City in 2009. And the eligibility criteria were that women had to be 18 and older, and they had to be a client for a first trimester surgical or medical abortion procedure. Women were recruited from three public sector sites that were delivering abortion care at the time, and these three sites reflected the three types of public sector providers. They included a general hospital, a maternity hospital, and a primary health center, and at each of these sites, we carried out 134 surveys. Study staff recruited women at their abortion care visits. The survey was done after women's appointments in a private space at the site. Participation was voluntary and anonymous, and all women were compensated for their time with a $10 gift card to a local store. And the protocol was ethically approved by both UCSF and by the Mexico City Ministry of Health. The response rate to the survey was 67%. This slide gives some background about how we measured women's sources of information on the abortion services. And this was based on an open-ended question which asked women how they learned about the provider they went to. And we listed six options on the survey, as well as an option other for responses that didn't fit the categories. And women could report multiple sources of information. And we created binary variables to indicate whether particular sources of information were reported by women or not, and conducted a detailed analysis for the top three sources of information that women reported. The measures of obstacles to care were based on survey questions which asked women to rate how easy it had been for them to get their appointment at the care site, and then also whether they experienced a list of particular problems when trying to obtain their care. And these included difficulty arranging transportation to the care site, difficulty getting time off work for their appointments, and also partner or other family member opposition to their abortion. And we created measures of the four obstacles that are listed here. The explanatory variables were sociodemographic factors and also the site of care. And the analysis consisted of a descriptive analysis, a bivariate analysis, and a multivariate analysis. And in these multivariate models, we controlled for all of the sociodemographic factors, except we were unable to control for parity since this was collinear with marital status. And marital status was a stronger predictor. So now I'll share some results. This slide shows some of the characteristics of the women who participated in the survey. The mean age was 25 and a half. 71% were Mexico City residents, but nearly one-third were out-of-state residents, mostly from the state of Mexico. More than half had a high school level of education or higher, but 11% had primary education or less. Over half were single, and 43% had a parity of zero. So the top three ways women had learned about their abortion provider were through referrals from another healthcare provider, through the internet, and through a personal contact such as a family member or a friend. Less frequently reported as sources of information were Locatel, which is a national information hotline, other types of mass media, a referral from an institution or agency, and ILETEL, which is a hotline the Ministry of Health has set up to provide information about the abortion services in Mexico City. So when we assess whether there were socio-demographic differences in women's likelihood of reporting the top three sources of information, we found there were no differences in women's likelihood of reporting a friend or a family member or another personal contact as their source of information, but there were differences for reporting a healthcare provider referral. And as you can see here, healthcare provider referrals were more commonly reported as an information source by low-educated women than by women with higher education. And in our multivariate analysis, we found that women with a primary education or less were more likely to report a healthcare provider referral than women with a high school education, and also marital status was associated with women's likelihood of reporting a healthcare provider referral. And single women were less likely to report this source of information than married women. So the likelihood of reporting the internet as an information source also varied by sociodemographic characteristics. And as you can see here, this source was much more commonly reported by women with high education than by those with low education. And in our multivariate analysis, we found the odds of reporting the internet as an information source were lower for older women compared to younger women, and also for women with primary or middle school education compared to high school education. And reliance on the internet was higher for women who were single compared to those who were married. And these results suggest that different groups of women rely on different sources of information to learn about the services, and that reaching different groups of women may require different strategies. Interestingly, both healthcare provider referrals and the internet could be problematic as sources of information, and women sometimes reported encountering misinformation or bad referrals from both of these sources. So for obstacles, we found a total of 16% of the women we surveyed reported that getting their appointment at the care site had been difficult for them. However, when we looked at this measure by education, we found there were significant group differences. And among women with primary education or below, 38% reported difficulty getting their appointment at the care site. And this compares with 13% to 15% in the other education categories. So for our measure of whether transportation was a problem for the women, we found overall 16% of women reported that it was difficult for them to arrange transportation to the site of care. But again, this varied by sociodemographic characteristics. And as you can see here, one quarter of those who lived outside of Mexico City said this was a problem for them, compared with just 12% of women who were Mexico City residents. Getting time off of work was reported as a problem by over one quarter of the women in the sample. But this problem was more common for single and separated and divorced women than for married women. And in terms of partner opposition to the abortion, we found 19% reported having a partner or other family member who was opposed to their having the abortion. But the differences by marital status categories were striking, and we found 40% of women who were separated or divorced reported partner or other family member opposition to their abortion. And this compares with just 20% and 15% in the other marital status categories. In multivariate analysis, the only factor we found to be associated with reporting that getting the care appointment had been difficult was primary education. And women with a primary level education had 4 times the odds of reporting it was difficult to get their appointment at the care site than women with high school education. So in terms of the analysis for arranging transportation to the care site, we found elevated odds of this being a problem for women with low education, women who were unmarried, single women, and separated and divorced women, and also women who lived outside of Mexico City. Getting time off work for appointments was reported as a problem more often by single and separated and divorced women than by married women. However, it was reported less often by women with middle school education compared to women with high school education. And the only group we found who had elevated odds of reporting partner or other family member opposition to their abortion were women who are separated and divorced. And compared to women who are married, these women had over 3 times the odds of reporting partner or other family member opposition to their abortion. So to summarize, we found women's key sources of information on abortion service providers were provider referrals, the internet, and personal contacts, and reliance on health provider referrals and the internet varied by women's sociodemographic characteristics. And we also found that obstacles varied by sociodemographic characteristics, and this slide shows a summary of the obstacles we measured and the groups we found to be at elevated risk. And this slide made clear a few points. First, different groups of women experienced different types of obstacles, and some groups appeared to be at higher risk for multiple types of the obstacles we studied. And our analysis suggests that groups who were at especially high risk of experiencing obstacles were separated and divorced women, single women, and women with low education levels. And although women who are out-of-state residents had a higher risk for just one of the obstacles we studied, we urge caution in interpreting this result. The women who came from states outside of Mexico City to get care in Mexico City may have been a really determined group of women, and that could be the reason they're not reporting more obstacles. And it may be that other women outside of Mexico City do indeed face greater obstacles to care, and we really need future research on these women to understand the barriers that they face. So some implications of this research are that we should build on and improve the sources of information women are already relying on to learn about service providers. And some specific strategies we could use to improving the provider referral process by making sure providers have the accurate information about where the services are available, and also ensuring information on the internet is up to date and accurate, and finally relying on peer educators and community health workers to spread information about the services, since women seem to prefer these personal contacts over the mass media sources. It would also be worthwhile to investigate why so few women are reporting using the abortion service telephone hotline as their source of information, and if there's any ways we could make use of this source more effective. And although this was an exploratory study, it does suggest some strategies that may be helpful in improving the accessibility of the abortion service. And first, it may be helpful to review the appointment procedures to ensure these are accessible to low-educated and low-literacy women, since the women with primary education were more likely to report that the process of getting their appointment had been difficult for them. It may also be helpful to consider ways to assist women with transportation, for example, by providing transportation vouchers or arranging carpools, and this may be an area where advocacy groups could play a greater role. And also, when determining where future abortion service providers should be located, the site's proximity to public transportation could be considered. And it may also be helpful to screen women for obstacles at the time that they obtain their care, so needs can be identified and addressed. Other strategies could include expanding appointment hours beyond traditional work hours, conducting follow-up by phone rather than in person after medical abortions, and providing additional support for women facing partner or other family member opposition to their abortion. So this study has some important limitations I want to highlight. And first, and most importantly, the study was carried out with a population of women who are successful in accessing public sector abortion care. And these results may not reflect the experiences of women who are unable to obtain abortion care or who sought an abortion clandestinely. And these groups may be at especially high risk of obstacles and perhaps face different obstacles than the women in this study. And research is needed in community-based settings, not facility settings, to explore the experiences of these groups. Another limitation is that there were no adolescents in this sample, and that's another group who are known to face barriers and who may face different types of barriers. Additionally, the survey assessed a limited range of obstacles, and important obstacles we didn't study were knowledge-related obstacles and economic obstacles. And finally, there's a possibility for recall bias. We asked women to recall both their information sources and the obstacles they faced, and they may not have remembered this accurately. So in conclusion, access to safe abortion services is key to the prevention of abortion-related mortality and morbidity. And steps to liberalize abortion laws, such as that undertaken in Mexico, are an essential first step in creating access to safe abortion services, but they may not be enough. And we need to continue to monitor the accessibility of abortion services and to assess whether there are groups who are unable to access the safe services that exist to really make these services accessible to all women who need them. Before concluding, I want to highlight my co-authors as well as the many other people who have contributed to this project. Thank you very much. Yes. Well, in this analysis of the information sources, I was surprised that it didn't seem very different in terms of the place of residence. So they were equally likely to report health provider referrals or the internet as their source. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just want to know in the three times that you computed that what's happening, because that might be a reason because women don't report that they had problems to get appointments.
Yeah. When I was doing this study, one of the things I learned was that they often consider the place women are coming from in terms of the type of procedure they give women. They'll give women more likely a surgical abortion, and getting, I don't know about getting the appointment, but it sounds like they get their appointment quicker if they're out of state, from what you're saying. Yes?
Do you have any more information about these divorced and separated women and why they're facing so much family opposition?
Yeah, I found this to be a really interesting finding, and it's a relatively small percent of the population of this sample, but it was a striking to me how strong these obstacles were and the significance of the results. I don't really, and I think it's a good exploratory finding to investigate further, I hope, to do that. Yes?
I was wondering if you had any information about those that did not respond to the survey and mm-hmm. how, if at all, you thought that might impact your findings?
Yeah, you know, we didn't, unfortunately, collect information about the non-participants. And I think some of it was timing, like they didn't want to participate at the moment. But I unfortunately, I don't know. Yes?
I have a question. If you get any more information about motivation for the women to travel, you said that they had faced difficulties in traveling. And I guess assuming that in the outside of Mexico City, there are options for girls to not make safe ones, but being that prior to 2007, the women still found abortions. And what motivated them to identify to travel to Mexico City? Was it simply the great choice to?
Yeah, well, it's also legal in Mexico City, so if they were getting an abortion outside of Mexico City, it would be outside of the law. And I think people had more confidence with the fact that these were safe services in public sector sites, so they felt more confidence. And the providers that are clandestine, often it could be like a private doctor, maybe, that they would attend, or another kind of site. So the fact that these are in the public sector hospitals, it has a reputation that was a motivator, I think, for women to come, and the fact that they were doing something that was legal. Yes.
The actual within the internet, did you look further into their internet specific sites, like where the sources were, those sites?
Unfortunately, I didn't, but when we also did in the study in-depth interviews with 30 women, I didn't talk about those results, but women talked about coming across a wide array of sites and that reported a lot of misinformation, including a lot of anti-choice sites out there. So I think, and the public sector has a website. There's websites that provide information about these abortion providers in the legal abortion program, but they're often out of date. That was a major problem. Women found they'd get to a site and there'd be nobody providing abortion services at that site anymore. So. But I don't know exactly which, from the measure on the survey, which sources of the internet were used. Yes?
I don't know if it was operating at the time when you collected the data, but there's this abortion fund, the Media, that's operating to help bring women from other states to Mexico City to access the public sector services. And did women mention that, if it was operating at that time?
Yeah.
That
didn't come up as a way. People had been channeled through In Mujeres, which is the National Institute of Women. Nobody mentioned that particular source. Do they refer to particular sites of abortion, or is it?
Well, for the Maria, some of, depending on the income level of the women, they are referred to the public services or they are referred to some kind of providers. So, but the ones that are referred to the public sector are in the Beatriz Velasco.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
That they also help with education, lodging, counseling. They're really trying to support the women who are coming from outside.
Yes, yeah.
Also, when did that report of difficulty in terms of not being able to get out of work or finding a place or transportation, in the qualitative interviews, you get a sense of how long it took for them to actually get the abortion?
Hmm.
Is it a matter of weeks or just?
Hmm. Yeah, I did ask a measure. I was reluctant to analyze it because of the way it was phrased, but I did ask from the first time they went into the care site how long it took to get the appointment, but I felt like maybe they didn't make the decision or I wasn't sure what their intention was throughout that whole process, so I don't have good data on that, unfortunately. Thank you. Thank you, everyone.